Welcome to Transform Talks, the only podcast that cuts straight through the hype and noise on supply chain transformation. I'm Maria Villablanca, the CEO and co-founder of the Future Insights Network. Join me as I uncover the stories and delve deeper into the topics that really matter to you. This is episode number 207 with Nico Nürbchen. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Transform Talks. In today's episode, I'm joined by Nico Nürbchen. He is the Senior Vice President of Global Supply Chain Management at Olympus Corporation. In this episode, we discuss the human element of supply chain transformation and the challenges companies face when they transition towards automated and demand-driven supply chains. Listen to the full episode now and discover how automation can empower your team to move beyond transactional tasks and focus on strategic initiatives. Nico, thanks for being on Transform Talks.
Hi, Maria. Thanks for having me. Pleasure talking to you again.
So I'm just going to jump straight in and ask you a bunch of different questions that I've got. I mean, we've got some limited time here, but I want to jump into the challenges because there are a lot of companies that have tried to implement automated and demand-driven supply chains, but have been faced with challenges. In your opinion, what challenges do companies face when they transition towards automated and demand-driven supply chains?
So I think starting point for a lot of companies is they have a very low maturity of data, of processes, of roles, responsibilities, technology in place. And a lot of companies don't have really structures and teams in place with the right capabilities to do those transformations. And if we really talk about fundamental transformations, then we need to work on all of this, right? So it's a very complex program with a lot of facets. And while you can hire experts for certain parts of this transformation, right? For data, for process, for strategy, and so on. The biggest challenge is finally then to build a transformation structure and a team to really ensure the successful transformation in a world where you have a lot of changing priorities coming from external or from your own company. And where you then need to make sure that we are not losing focus or track. So it's a very complex topic. And when we see supply chain and how we, for instance, go forward and what our experience is, then we have our supply chain, Tom, with 15 elements, right? With the strategy, with definition, and then the part of implementing everything. And it goes really from guiding principles, what scope we have, how to define them for the processes, the methodologies, how do we do change, communication, organization structures, and so on. And all of this, you need to make sure that it is in place for quite a long time, right? Because transformation is not 1 year. It's 2 years, 3 years, sometimes 5 years.
Sometimes it's even ongoing, isn't it? It's a thing that keeps going on and on.
It is, absolutely. And you need to make sure that for the own people in the transformation, but as well for the stakeholders and so on, you keep it still, let's call it interesting, right? So nobody should lose interest in because it takes longer. And at the beginning, it's a lot of baseline work, right? So something where you not can present, hey, here's a shiny new concept and here's a shiny new achievement and so on, right? So you still, this management of expectations and the management of making sure that people are still seeing that you're working on the right things and that it's linked to business requirements and business capabilities is very, very important.
And this is very much in line with why a lot of transformations fail, right? Because it's not just the technology that fails. It's maybe, like you say, people losing interest in the transformation process, right? So I think that's a very valid point that you've just made there and one that we need to work on. How do you keep interest in the transformation projects? How do you keep your people interested in the complexity of these transformations?
I think there's a lot about communication, making sure that right in the beginning when you define strategy and as we have done, we define strategy and we connected the strategy to business capabilities and to requirements really coming from the business. And then everything what we do is finally in rolling up and again doing new communications and so on is every time related to what was defined as a strategy first and how it relates to this. And then there's a lot of elements in engagement in using we have internally tool is Viva Engage, for instance, right? There's postings every month to this. Mm-hmm. We have open office hours, we have town hall meetings, we have newsletters and so on. What we shape to the different parts of the audience and making sure that we communicate a lot. And I think two things maybe just to quickly add this. One is you need external support to help you mm-hmm. in this. But at the end, especially for the team internally, they need to own it. They need to understand that they are the leaders who finally put things in place, right? And this keeps it attractive for them. You can adjust to the right speed, how people are doing and so on. So that is very, very important. And for the outside supply chain, right, for the broader audience and stakeholders, I think as it is a long-term activity, making sure right from the beginning, this is not just a cost cutting and so on, right? This is really a transformation where we need to build a lot of things and the cost cuts come at the end. But then in between having some nice pilots and so on and showing first results is where people attracted.
So the lesson here is not just about the focus on transformation from a technological and process perspective. The lesson here is that you have to work at making sure your teams carry the transformation through. You have to work at it. And it sounds like what you're doing with all of these endeavors, with these communication practices, it is a considered effort and a conscious effort to make sure that you work at transformation. So I like that. And I think that there's a lesson here. The next question I have for you is about automation technologies and how you think they're reshaping supply chain management practices today. And more importantly, where do you see this happening?
Yeah. So I would, maybe we can cluster into two categories. It's not exhaustive, but when thinking about technologies, automated technologies, and for me, it's every time a bit more what we can use as an operational support, so to increase efficiency in working. And then the other one is more related to how we can create business contingency, have more predictive capabilities on board. And while the first one is really a lot about using resources better, reducing transactional work, avoid shortages, and so on, more the classical approach, what mm-hmm. you can do maybe a bit more separated or semi-integrated, like doing RPA pilots or Gen AI applications, right, that help improving daily work, or for instance, warehouse automation, what we have used as we faced a lot of shortages of workers and so on. So this is one part of the automation technologies, what is very, very important to put in place and what you can maybe do with less integration. The other part, business contingency and predictive topics, you need to have full integration with data across the supply chain, right, where we need to make sure that then, for instance, we have demand prediction where we use maybe maintenance data of devices where we're currently working with research and development together, how we can build those capabilities, or risk applications where we're using partners helping us to understand if something happens in the world, right? What are the impacts of supply chain disruptions? So the area is very, very wide. And it's, I mean, data is what supply chain need and what supply chain, the use of data, right? The analytics behind and then making sure that we can do the right things is what supply chain's role and benefit is for the company.
And you mentioned generative AI. I want to ask you about that because it seems like everyone's talking about generative AI these days. I know it's been around for a while, or AI has been around for a while, but maybe walk us through what you're doing or how you're implementing generative AI in your organization and what your thoughts are on it.
It's a very interesting question, and I'm by far not the expert on Gen AI, right? What I think the benefits of compared to more the classical approaches with RPA and so on is that you can use more unstructured data, and what helps in how fast you can put things in place and so on. Experience what we are currently having or doing is with our partner for integrated planning tool. They're using AI to support, for instance, demand planning, recognize patterns and so on. And there's the latest thing what I heard and what I'm really looking forward to see is using Gen AI in terms of very similar to that we are using ChatGPT, that the planners are really speaking with the system, right? So that's very interesting part, what makes life really, really easier for them. I'm really looking forward to see this application in life then. Or the other part where we use tracking and tracing solutions with another provider what is using AI to estimate arrival times, deviations, and so on. So these are capabilities what really helps us to work with our business partners and so on. Just some, I think it's just a starting point, and there's much more exciting stuff coming around. But we use the first parts.
But you know what? Going back to the point about getting people to get excited about transformation and automation strategies, right? Cool new technology does have, you know, that, well, let me say that again. Cool new technologies that make your job easier to do, that make things more exciting to do, that surely will have a direct impact in keeping transformation projects on track, right? So it's exciting times ahead.
It's definitely, it's on one hand, when working with the people, you hear still a lot of fear. What does it mean, right? We put digitalization in place and so on. So we and everyone need to work intensively on taking this fear away, right? So that's one of the important topics where we work, for instance, with the Digital Academy, where we use great examples and bring digitalization closer to the people. What is, I think, an element to make sure that they are more and more getting used to it, right, and loses fear. On the other hand, there are a lot of people understanding how important it is, and with all these small pilots and so on, what we can show or what people know from private life and so on, it's great to see how they adapt to those strategies or digitalization. What important is that we need the skills and we build the skills, right? So without the right skills, without the right processes behind the capabilities to do analytics and so on, a lot of this digitalization does not help. And if we are not building capabilities for people, how people run processes, how people use data and so on, then it's maybe a chance that we have not used them. So we need to make sure that we really have this seamless integration, starting on processes and starting on really having a clear goal and purpose in the holistic roadmap then to put digitalization in place.
And I think the last question I have is, maybe you can give us some tips on some strategies that maybe organizations can implement to ensure at least as seamless possible as an integration as they can of their automation into their supply chain processes. Any tips that you can give us?
Yeah, two, I think I just have used a bit. At the end, digitalization can be very expensive, right? So single pilots and optimizations, they are fully okay when to show first results and so on. But when it comes really to seeming integration, then there need to be a clear vision and plan. Right? So starting with a clear goal and purpose, why do we do digitalization? What will improve for the customer? What is the holistic roadmap? And building this roadmap really based on capabilities that need to be put in place, what the organization needs, right? So that's very, very important. And then start this process, harmonizing processes, build these capabilities, and then finally bring in digitalization and really making sure that it is a more holistic approach. And finally, I think I've mentioned this before, but it's the changing the perspective of people, right? So that they are using digitalization, that they are coming closer to this and don't see it as a threat. They see it really as something what is exciting and what moves things forward.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for your advice and thanks for being here on Transform Talks. I'll be seeing you in Berlin at the Transform Fest event. Thanks for being here.
Looking forward to this, Maria. Thanks a lot again for having me and looking forward to Berlin.
Hey there, it's Maria. In case you haven't heard the buzz, I want you to mark this date in your calendar. From the 11th to the 13th of November this year, I'm hosting a 3-day conference providing a critical platform for senior supply chain leaders to discuss transformation. It's going to be 3 days of workshops, roundtable discussions, keynote speakers with the leading companies in this industry. You don't want to miss it. To find out more, visit our website at futureinsights.org/TFest24. Alternatively, you can send me a message on LinkedIn for more information. I want to see you in Berlin for TFest 24.
Thanks for joining us today at Transform Talks. I hope you found this valuable. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe, comment, and share. I'll see you at the next one.